Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hort again, doing a lot of content over the last couple of days as the guys get ready for Brighton this weekend where they'll be back. But yes, looking ahead to that very game here on the Match Preview Show, I have got Finn and I have got John as, yes, Liverpool head down to the Amex on Sunday afternoon. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Finn, I'll start with you. Last time Liverpool went to the Amex in the league, they got absolutely battered. Like 3-0 flat at Liverpool. It was quite the game. They also got knocked out of the FA Cup by Brighton as well. I know it's slightly different teams. A couple of players have changed teams. One of those players now plays for us. But do you think this type of thing, what Jürgen and the boys will have revenge on their mind a little bit?
Yeah, I think that'll be the case. I think it was similar, you know, with the Wolves game. Like last year, Wolves and Brighton, that stood out when we went there and got absolutely battered. So I think this will be a case of go there, put that to bed, and then they can move on for the rest of the season then.
I do wonder, John, because like, we always talk about like modern football and tacticians and all this kind of stuff, but there must be some semblance of like, we owe these one. Because like, that must be a thing that's, I'm guessing it still happens. Yeah, they got embarrassed last year at Brighton, made no bones about it. They got played off the park, it wasn't close. Brighton ran rings around them, and like I say, it could have been 5 or 6 on another day. They missed a penalty. They had a VAR overturned the penalty, so it could have been a lot worse for the Reds. I do wonder if Jürgen just uses that as a little bit of extra motivation.
I think he does. I mean, I think, you know, Brighton were the team went last year. I mean, it was us, if you go back sort of 5 years, and there's always that one team, isn't there, that's like sort of in the ascendancy. Last year it was Brighton and Arsenal, but you know, I think he probably sees this as a good challenge as well. I think the manager, I think he's, there was definitely a spell, I think, in the league maybe like sort of 2 or 3 years ago where, like, not just because we were brilliant, we were picking up routine wins, but where like nothing really changed. Like us and City were so far ahead tactically, if you like. And I think he relishes, the manager, the idea that like there's the, you know, like you've had Emery come back in at Villa and stuff, and obviously Deserbi at Brighton are sort of not scared to sort of play attacking football on their terms and try and dominate the match. So I think he'll enjoy it. And I think, as you say, it's a carrot, isn't it, to give to the players to say, you know, Let you've been this good so far this season, let's keep that going. But also, you know, for the ones of you who were here last year, you know, you owe it to these to go up there and sort of put your stamp on it and show that they're very much Europa League and where we should be in the Champions League, kind of.
Yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. That speaking about the Europa League thing, that is the interesting one. It's weird, really, because we haven't seen too much yet of the Thursday Sunday effect on Liverpool, because they played West Ham, who also played Thursday, and again the second time around they're going to be playing Brighton, and they had a tough game in Marseille. They done well to come back and get themselves a point, but I don't think they played particularly well from what I watched of it. I watched it in here, actually, before our game. Liverpool, in theory, should be more used to the turnaround of you, albeit Liverpool are more used to Champions League into Premier League. This is relatively new territory for Brighton. I wonder if that is something that could play a part here.
Yeah, well, my first show, we did the Europa League draw, and we spoke about how Liverpool have got the squad where they can go and essentially play a second team. I know we didn't do it yesterday, but he dragged a few of them off a lot earlier, whereas, and we got the win. Brighton look like they've been struggling a little bit with the 3 games a week. So I think it'll be all right on Sunday. They look tired already, and I think he's said that already as well, hasn't he? So does Erby. So I think they'll struggle. We should be all right. We rested loads of players yesterday. So
yeah, he has done that as well. It's funny, I spoke to Adam, I've done another show because I've been doing loads of content. Over on Red Men Plus, I had the Oppo preview, and I spoke to Adam, a Seagulls fan, John, and he did say Deserbi has been really, really keen to rotate. He's made like 6, 7, 8 changes. He changed his whole 11 at one point. I think that was for the Chelsea game in the League Cup, but he's been doing that, lots and lots of changes, and it's hard for them to nail down any type of rhythm. They've had injuries as well, which we're going to speak about in a bit. That it can work both ways. If they're used to it, it's all right, but if they're not, it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like Liverpool are more used to perhaps that. I think that could be something that perhaps goes in our favour a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a bit second season syndrome for Brighton, I think, because last year there was the odd tweak, you know, kind of thing, week to week, but it was you could name a lot of their starting 11 sort of week to week. And I think where they've struggled a little bit in terms of, obviously, they rely a lot on youth and sort of like young, sort of rough diamonds. The lads who've been doing it for them, like Matoma and stuff, I've seemed to have played in every game, even if it's only been like a half, you know, and obviously all that adds up over time, you're just not as sharp. So I think they've struggled for that, but it was, I thought it was interesting in sort of Klopp's post-match yesterday, but he was talking sort of about the team and about rhythm, and he said, you know, the team was fine, but the rhythm wasn't quite there yet, and we weren't quite up to snuff. And those kind of things always make me kind of think that maybe that's a bit of a dress rehearsal sort of team, or we're going to see a lot of those players, if you like, sort of against Brighton. And as you say, like as a squad and as a sort of management team behind the players, we're a lot more used to that sort of rhythm of going again every couple of days. So I think I would expect to see, even though it's them at home, maybe them be slightly more sluggish, I think, just in terms of trying to find who they are. Because that Brighton team as well, for me as a squad, even though there's a lot of great players in it, it doesn't strike me particularly as a team that's like got like a definitive leader. You know, there's not like many standard, they work as a unit, as it's like, so there's no one who'll sort of tick a ball, tick the game, you know, by the scruff of the neck and sort of say, this is what we're doing today. But I think it's definitely had an impact on them. I think it's only one, the stat I was reading yesterday was it's only like one game. I think they haven't conceded, they haven't kept a clean sheet.
I think they've conceded every single game. They've conceded every game since the start of the season, which we'll talk about later, I suppose, as well. But you are right, they are lacking. They're a good team. They're sixth in the league. They've done well. They've had some good results. They beat Newcastle 3-1, of course, that was the Evan Ferguson game. They went to Old Trafford and won. They did well against Bournemouth. But they've also had little slip-ups. They got beat by West Ham. They got battered by Aston Villa. And in those two games in particular, Finn, it was interesting in that those two teams both let Brighton have the ball and did the whole, right, OK, we'll sit back, we'll try and hit you on the counter. The teams have actually tried to play against them, Newcastle, Man United in particular, got beat. I wonder if Liverpool will always want the ball, I understand that, but I wonder if they might be a little bit more comfortable without it. Like, I wonder if the Reds go there saying, you know what, if we're defensively solid, there's nothing wrong with us being the counter-attacking team here. We'll certainly have the players to do it. It'll be fascinating to see how Jürgen does it, because Brighton want the ball, but also we want the ball. They want transitions and quick turnovers. It's like almost if we go and be us, do we play into their hands? You know what I mean? Like, the manager's got a decision to make there.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, I don't want to bring up last Sunday, but we showed that we can, you know, be resolute and defend and hit teams on the break.
Yeah.
Obviously, we did that with 10 and then 9 men. But I think we'll go there and Klopp will just say we'll play our way and we should win the game. They've been on a bad run of form recently, Brighton. We've got the press to do it against them. You know, if they try and play out from the back, you know, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Nunes, Diaz, if they can get it in the final third, they'll Salah cause damage straight away to them. So
it'd be interesting to see
how it goes with
it. Yeah, and it will be interesting to see that. Before we speak about Liverpool, let's just finish up on Brighton. I'll start with you here, John. They have had a few injuries. Now, Evan Ferguson's back, which is a big positive for them. He was injured, and then he was ill not long after he scored the hat-trick I mentioned before. They did lose Estupiñán for a month, which is a big blow for them. And Ciso, who was effectively meant to be it doesn't matter if we lost McAllister and we've lost Moises Caicedo, because here's the next one. The Brighton production line tends to be that, but they did then lose him. And he was, at the end of last season, he was a real key player for them. So they are without those two, but they still have got players. They've still got Matoma was hurt Liverpool before, I think that's obvious. Solly Marsh has hurt Liverpool before. That Pascal Gross has played well against Liverpool. There are still players in that team, and I think the Matoma one is the big one, because last Liverpool will have memories of him at their place. He gave them a ton of time. He gave Trent and Matip, and if those two start for us, which at the moment in time looks likely, that is another battle we're going to have to overcome, because he did in both games. He had Liverpool on toast a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's two interesting battles. I think I was looking at the lineups from the last few games, and I think for them, certainly their strength is out wide. You know, they've got Matoma, they'll probably start Lamptey, I think, at full back as well. So they'll have that sort of pace, and that's going to be a big issue for us in terms of our back line, and particularly Trent and Matip, especially if Trent's starting and going into midfield. So it'd be interesting to see what they do, but I do think as well with Brighton, that when you look at their midfield, as you say, in terms of the injuries, even though they've got a lot of quality in there and people like Gilmore and that, I think our midfield on paper is much stronger. So I think we'll probably dominate them in the middle of the park, particularly with Szoboszlai. Sort of, you know, just seems likes to run every game. I don't even think he drives. I think he just runs wherever he needs to go. But it's an interesting tactical thing, because I think, as you say, for them, they're so incisive and so quick when they move the ball, and particularly with the pace they've got out wide. It'd be interesting to see how we cope with it, whether we really think we'll double up on certain players and try and play on the break and maybe pin them in a bit, or whether we think we're just going to play our game and keep the ball and just play, because we've been quite fluid, I think, when we've like been playing sort of 1-2 shot stuff this season.
I suppose, going back to what you mentioned before, John mentioned it, Finn, is that they've conceded every game so far this season. They've played 7 games in the league, they've scored 19, but they've conceded 14. Brighton, and it was the same a little bit last year as well. They score plenty, but you can get at them. The goal difference, like I say, at the minute is +5 last season. Considering the fact that, like I just bring up again, they finished 6th, they scored 72 goals, but they left 59. They finished with a goal difference of +19 for that reason. It does feel like they take risks, and I get it, and they're open and they're willing to do it, but they're not watertight at the back. They've got good players. Yeah. I like Dunk, I like Webster. Is it Van Heck? Is it? I think they've all been good, but there's obviously a vulnerability there. They haven't kept a clean sheet all season. Yeah. Liverpool, we're pretty sure what our front three will be. It's going to be Diaz, Salah, and Darwin. They'll all be licking their lips, really, because it's obvious that there's a goal to be had against Brighton.
Yeah, they're not, you know, as you just said, they take risks, don't they? And the amount of chances we make each game is a bit ridiculous at the minute. So if you've got Salah, Diaz, Nunes, obviously, like McAllister, they're all, and then, well, we don't have Gakpo, which you have to do this week, but they don't seem defensively sound enough to keep us out. So if they, as I said before, if they play their way, I think we've got the players to really hurt them.
Absolutely. Chris there with the chat says both teams to score is easy money. It feels like that could be the case. Let's talk, you know, I'll do it now about the midfield. Actually, we'll work back, as we know the flat's going to be the front three. Gakpo's out, Jürgen's confirmed he's out after the break. Jota's obviously suspended, as we know, after Spurs. Jones obviously suspended as well, we know that. Bicetic is out and Thiago's injured again, which is no surprise to anyone. So that's the Liverpool in terms of who can't play, John. So got a question here from Andre. He says, would you start Endo in this one? I wonder if Jürgen was planning for that first 11 against Brighton, considering the subs he made against Union. He did take Endo off at half time. He took Salah and Darwin off. Obviously, he's got an eye on Sunday for those two. But he did take Endo off as well. Do you think he's got half an eye on potentially starting Endo, maybe moving McAllister further forward? His other option, of course, would be keep McAllister deep and play Gravenberch, which, again, he had a really good game as well. That is interesting how the manager goes about his midfield three, because, like we just said, they've swapped and changed as well. But obviously, this is the first game we've had, obviously, since Curtis' suspension. I wonder what he plans to do with McAllister, Endo, Gravenberch, because it's two of those three on obviously Szoboszlai as well.
Yeah, I think that's the choice for me. Is like, I think we all agree Szoboszlai is going to be in the team, and it's the other two positions.
McAllister will be in the team. Yeah. It's just whether he's an 8 or a DM.
Or a DM. I think it's a thing of, like I say, I think in midfield we're going to look to be strong. So I think he'd start Endo, and I think that was behind. When he went off at half time, I was a bit like, oh, has he got a knock or something? And then there didn't seem to be anything about it, sort of post match and stuff, which, as you say, to me says that he's keeping him sort of for the weekend. But I mean, he's looked tidy, and that's exactly sort of what we've needed, having those two in front who sort of join the attack and obviously are all action sort of eights going everywhere. You need a fella who will just sort of sit in, and as I say, Brighton being as incisive as they are, sort of, you know, out wide, but sort of in the middle of the pitch as well. You want someone who can sort of command that, and I think particularly, you know, they're not, if we were playing like a West Ham or something, you might think, I want someone a bit more active in there, you know, not knocking Endo, but, you know, he's not particularly the biggest footballer, is he? But I think in this type of game, he'd fit perfectly, so I think he'll probably put him in. I actually think the question for me is more, do we see McAllister start from the bench, maybe? You know, and we'll have, maybe he goes with Gravenberch, because I just think, I didn't know a bit of the sort of thing about him, you know, to get the three games he's had, goals and assists and stuff, whether the manager might just try and roll up with that and just say, you know, he's on a good run, we're trying to get him in the team, let's just start him, and if we need to change it, you know, in the middle of the game, we can, and we know McAllister's a bit of a break glass.
Got a question. Quadbot says, if we play the midfield, the box midfield, so I'm not sure Endo fit. I think he probably can, because I don't know what you think, but it feels like Endo would be that option if you're worried about being counter-attacked on, which I think we all are with Brighton. That's their key thing. having Endo there might offer you a little bit more. It's like, okay, whether that means McAllister starts or he go or he doesn't, but the diff, of course, we've seen Jürgen play McAllister there all pretty much all season. When he's played, he has been in that deeper role for the most part. It was just that sub until he made that sub at half time. I hadn't even considered, and I just thought it would be McAllister, Szoboszlai, and then one of Elliott or Gravenberch. That Endo sub almost tips us at that it could be him.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we all thought he was nailed on to start against Wolves, didn't we? And then he didn't play, and yeah, he put McAllister at six. But I think it goes back to what you said before. If we're going to go and let, you know, if we let them have the ball, I think Endo's the one you play. But if we want to go and dominate and play the way that Jürgen wants us to play, then I think he'll go McAllister and then Gravenberch in the eighth, where Jones would be.
Absolutely. Charlie in the chat says, I reckon it'll be Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai. So he's moving McAllister forward, forwards. And then Sideline Football Show says, I can't wait to see Endo in the six with McAllister and Szoboszlai. The spanning in the way, because I think spanning in the way, it's a good problem, if I'll stick with you, is Gravenberch. Like, he was excellent yesterday. He was decent against Leicester. If it was a case of who's in form, not that Endo's been bad, but Gravenberch's been really good. Yeah. And it depends if the manager wants to say, you know what, that doesn't matter because we need Endo and therefore this and this. But there is, like John said, there is a possibility it isn't McAllister, that it could be Endo.
Yeah.
But sorry, with Gravenberch, it's an interesting one, really, because obviously I think Curtis was his first choice. We've seen that he kept picking him all the time. He's now suspended. There's a shirt there up for grabs. I've got a feeling that Gravenberch got it, he might not give it back. Like, he could get himself in the team and keep in the team. And if he does start, it's a big opportunity in a game that, if it is a frantic game where there's a lot of close control needed, that does feel like Gravenberch's skill set is that he wants to be pressed. Well, he enjoys being pressed. He wants to be pressed. His quick feet. So that's the plus side for him. It goes back to what you said, I suppose, mate. How cautious is he? If he's a little bit more cautious, it's Endo. If it's right, we're going to go there and be Liverpool, then it could be Gravenberch.
Yeah. I think Klopp will go and be, we're Liverpool, we're going to play how we want to play against you.
McAllister plays and Gravenberch plays.
Yeah, I think that's the way he does it. I can't see a world where McAllister doesn't play.
Yeah,
I think it's a toss of the coin between Endo and Gravenberch. But Jones is off for three games, isn't he? So yeah, whoever plays in this game, if they go and play really well, they're going to be in for the next two regardless.
The derby, isn't it?
Yeah. So you can imagine that they come in, and then, as I said with Gravenberch, I think if he comes in, plays well, it's going to be really tough for Jones to come back in and take it off him.
Absolutely. It might already be at this moment in time.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The only other question, really, I suppose, John, then, is at the back. Obviously, it feels like Joel Matip is first choice in the Premier League. It has been. It's been Ibu Konate playing in midweek. Having said that, I did touch upon it earlier. the pace of Brighton and Matoma in particular give Joel Matip kittens last year. Like, he really had a hard time. It wasn't technically really his fault. Trent was vacating the space and it was just acres of space and Matoma was just too quick for Matip, but that was kind of what it was. I know Ibu did play the 90 at the weekend. Is there a chance he goes again? I don't think it will be Gomez. I'd be shocked if Gomez played at right back or centre back. Quanta, as good as he's been, I can't see it. It's going to be Robbo, and it's going to be Virgil, and it's going to be Trent. It's that other position, really. I think I would be more comfortable at this point if it was Konate for this particular opposition. But Konate's just done 90 and Matip hasn't kicked the ball. It feels like it's pointing towards Matip, and I don't know how comfortable I am with that.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think he's definitely took the approach of sort of trying to wrap Konate and Cotton Wool as much as he can, hasn't he? Just to get him sorted. Yeah. We don't want it that he keeps having niggles throughout the season. It's hard, really, because I think, you know, we've all got sort of, I think we've all sort of as a fan base got mixed feelings about Matip in the sense that we all know he's had a great career, for us especially, but, you know, in the summer we were all sort of, it's probably that he's on the way out, and then he's been sort of resurgent in the early part of this season, but you do sort of, you know what his limitations are, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You know that, as you say, sort of coming up against that type of pace and stuff would sort of do for him. I think if it was me, and obviously I'm not the manager, I'd be with you. I'd be picking Konate and just thinking we'd be playing to our strengths. I wonder with the manager, because he's so sort of positive and so sort of, you know, he looks at the data and stuff. As you say, with him not having had the minutes, he'll put him in and just go, well, because the sort of the lost thing, I guess, in sort of the Spurs game was how brilliant the goalkeeper was. You know what I mean? And whether he just goes, well, we've got him behind him and he's in the form of his life at the minute. So if something does happen, I'm back in Ali to sort of play up. And, you know, the other people around them, if we're dominating the ball, we shouldn't really get into that situation. But Matoma's going to be there out ball, not necessarily someone who's going to be there making play. So I think he'll probably go Matip, like I say, just looking at the information we have. But, you know, I would be happier. I would feel calmer, but, you know, it's Jürgen, and he just goes full throttle, doesn't he? So
see, I would go Konate, but I'm with you. I think he'll go Matip, though, Finn. A, what would you do? And B, what do you think he's going to do?
I think he'll go Matip. What I do, I think it depends on Trent, because I think if you play Matip, I think you go Gomez at right back. If Trent's not fully fit, just because he's got pace.
Someone mentioned actually yesterday on the watch along, someone said to me, it almost feels like if it's Matip, it needs to be Gomez, yeah. And if it's Trent, it needs to be Ibu.
Because of the pace.
The pace thing, yeah, and also Gomez isn't that great on the ball. Where Matip is, yeah. So you can rather than Matip can be the one who advances it. So yeah, it does feel like if it's, I'm with you actually. I think if it's Trent, it should be Ibu. I don't know. It just feels like Matip's got the shirt at the moment.
Yeah, I mean he's not done anything.
Apart from rocketing one.
Yeah,
past our goalkeeper. Yeah, he hasn't done too much.
It was really good, and then he obviously did that. But no, he's been good. Like as you said, I mean we all sat there and someone went, he's not good enough anymore. I mean, we need another centre back. I mean, Quanta's helped with that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, I think if you go Matip, which I think Klopp will, I think he'll go Gomez, because Gomez is similarly gone. He's not really done a lot wrong since he's come in and played. I mean, Neto had him a little bit, so maybe Matoma might do it as well. But
yeah, it's. I just can't see a world where he leaves Alexander Arnold. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play.
It depends on his fitness for me, I think, if he's worried about him.
He did get an hour yesterday, and again, he was taken off, and I wondered if that was half an eye on the game. It was Gomez, actually, who come and replaced him. We've got a comment here, actually, which was, let's have a little look. Mikey, let's just say, sorry, he said, who played defence against Brighton last season? Just don't pick those, and we'll be fine. Well, I can bring you the team from Brighton last season, actually. It was Robertson, Konate, Matip and Trent. Obviously, Van Dijk at this point was out. They have Fabinho in DM. It was that game when Thiago played as a 10. It didn't work. It didn't work. Oxlade-Chamberlain got the nod as well. It was like, yeah, it was a shambles that game. So if it was up to the comment there from Mikey, it would be Tsimikas. Then it would be he'd have Virgil in, he'd have Quansah in, and he'd have Gomez at right back. Maybe that's what Mikey is saying he would do if you're just not playing any of them. I think the fact that Liverpool's legs fell off at that point by the season last year was not great. Let's just put it that way. Right, then let's have a little look towards the game then, John, how we think it's going to go. As mentioned before, both teams to score looks like a certainty, and I wouldn't disagree. Brighton look full of goals. Liverpool's actually have defended all right, but we, it looks like he can still get us a bit. On the flip side, we score bag fours and Brighton let loads in. It does feel like both teams will get on the score sheet. Mm-hmm. Is it a case of like who outlasts the other one? Can Liverpool get themselves in a position where, similar to what West Ham did, where you can go again? We used to win 3-1. We do that quite a bit before the other day. It feels like that wouldn't be beyond the realms.
My only thing with it, I think, for the entire game is the boom music, because I think without going obviously over the last weekend, like we've had what happened at Spurs and they've had that 6-1, and it's what's your reaction to that back in the league?
Yeah.
My impression of watching them this season is that they seem a bit stilted because of the schedule. In that sense, if Ferguson starts, that worries me, because I think he's just a ball of energy, you know, as you are when you're a young player, and I think he sets that tone for them in the sense of, we're going to go do this and I'm going to be there for everything, you know, and help. I'll bring all the lads into play. I don't know if that'll come off, because I think what I've really liked about watching that Liverpool this season is that we don't seem fazed by anything. All the sorts of problems and hangovers we would have had last season just seem to have gone, because of the new lads have seemed to have just gone. We seem to go into games, and even if we go a goal behind and look a bit sluggish, we go, oh, it's all right, and then we find our rhythm and sort of get going. I think we seem really comfortable with just who we are and what we do, and that we're confident that we'll score. And I think taking that into that game, for me, even though they're at home and stuff, as I say, I think I don't really see a game where we won't dominate it, in the sense of, you know, it'll all be about us. That, as I say, that could change potentially if, you know, if they name Ferguson in the starting 11 and he sort of is up for it. But I just think all their big players to me look like they've played too much football already, even with the rotation.
Absolutely. And listen, I think Virgil would, you'd have to back, you'd want, hopefully Virgil can deal with that one if that is the case. They have got goals on the side, they have got dangerous players, and like I say, it's not one that we're looking over. You know, we thought Spurs was a tough game, and it turned out I think we actually might have won that one if not for everything that happened for him. But Brighton, it's one of the toughest games on the schedule now this season. You know, you think of historically your big away games, and it used to always be you go to United and you go to Chelsea. Now it feels like it's Brighton, and it might be Tottenham, and it might even be Newcastle, which Liverpool have already went and won there. You know what I mean? Like, they are part of, and they are one of the best, Jamie Carragher said they're one of the best teams in the league. They're six at the moment, but they do feel like a really good side. Liverpool, they've already played Tottenham, of course, we know how that went. They've already played Villa. There's another tough test now against Brighton. If they can get through it and get 3 points, the fixture list starts easing up a little bit. You get a couple of games. I know there's a derby, but a derby at home, Liverpool should win, and it gets a little bit easier. But this is a big challenge, really, isn't it? Because after, listen, everything that happened last week, and I know Jürgen wants a replay, but as it stands, Liverpool lost. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you never really want to lose two Premier League games on the run. It doesn't matter the circumstances, how that happens. That's a difficult one. Liverpool, you know, it is a tough game, but it's one that they really could do with winning, and they'll have their eyes on it as well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be, I know they got battered last week, but they won't change the way they play. They'll come out, they're at home, last game for the international break, they'll want to come out and get a win. If we can go there and beat them, then you go into the second international break, you could possibly be, you know, joint points on first with City. They've got Arsenal this weekend, haven't they? So, which is even more important that we go get the win before them two play each other.
Yeah.
And then we can see where we're at then. Because I think we all would have bit someone's hand off for that at the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. If Liverpool can get through this one, you're absolutely right. After that, I mentioned the fixture list. It goes Everton, Forest, Luton, Brentford before you play Man City. They're not games of gimme, but it's a derby at home, it's Forest at home, it's Luton away, and then it's Brentford at home. Liverpool going into a season would expect to win all four of those games. Games aren't played on paper, but you are right. This is where that tough start flips and you get a bit of an easier run, because it feels like it's been a bit of a gauntlet so far. Yeah. Can I push you for a prediction then, guys? And obviously, bear in mind what happened last weekend, and then for both of these teams, John, you mentioned it before, they got absolutely stuffed by Ollie Watkins and Carl at Villa. Liverpool, of course, had the farce that was. How do you see this one going?
Is it cheating if I say 3-1 Liverpool?
it's probably clever to say that, to be honest with you.
I think 3-1, I can see us getting a couple. I can see them, as you say, definitely scoring. But I think we'll have too much for them.
Probably first. That tends to be how it goes. What do you
think,
mate?
Yeah, I was also going to go 3-1. I think they'll score first. I'm a bit worried that we don't have Jota and Gakpo to come off the bench.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah.
If we're drawing, we can just go, all right, you two go on. Them two aren't working.
Absolutely. There's no, the firepower has come in. Liverpool have ended the game strongly because the subs they've been able to make. Now, they have, it's Ben Doak, he'll probably be on the bench, and I wonder if it's Soboslai, he can play wide. Elliot, yeah. I'm not sure. So you are right. It is worth mentioning that if it does get close towards the end, there's no super sub forwards to really throw on. It's a good point. Yeah,
I know we've covered it in terms of the midfield, but I feel like that's the change we have been making. The change in this game is, does he start with Endo or whatever and then put Elliot on, or you know, that kind of thing, and change the midfield?
Gravenberch could be the option off the bench, couldn't he?
Could be that, them too, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. Yeah, I'm going to stick with 3-1 as well. We're all thinking of 3-1. It makes sense. But yeah, let's have a little look. Malik says, yeah, let's get back to the 3-1 win. Mikey says they played a strong team against Marseille and needs a penalty that could work in our favour. And then, yeah, Stevie says if Milner plays, we might have some trouble. But otherwise, it's an easy win. Yeah, they might put Milner at full-back. That's certainly something they've been doing recently. Again, especially in the absence of Estupiñán. But I'm guessing that will be Tyreek Lamptey. Boys, thanks very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in. Thanks all you guys for checking out the show. If you're not watching this live, if you're listening to it as a podcast, then please do give us a 5-star rating on your app. It really does help us out. Before we go, producers, oh, very, very quickly for those watching, for those listening, I'll describe it. Can you bring my screen up? Have you got my screen on, Joe? There we go. Our limited edition knitted Christmas jumpers. I understand it's October. I do apologise. But they are knitted, so they take ages to make and, of course, get them sent out across the world. We do worldwide shipping, so yeah, inspired by Alison Becker's title-winning jersey, the black and gold one, we've got our newest Christmas jumper available for pre-order now. So if you're watching this, you can see it on your screen. If you're listening to it, just trust me, it's absolutely gorgeous. Redmenmerch.com for that. I understand it's October, but like I said before, it takes international shipping. We've got to get them made. So get your orders in. Head on over to redmanmares.com and do get those in your baskets and then in your lives for this festive season. Thanks, boys, for coming in. Thanks, all you guys, for watching or listening. We'll be back next Sunday. Well, sorry, on Sunday with the watch-along for Brighton versus Liverpool. We'll see you all then.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event. So give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.